The Bechinam Yisrael will be in 2 weeks from Thursday. And the Bechinam will cover not only the Shiurim of Rav Schechter, but also the Mishnah Berurah that were assigned, as well as the additional information we're going to mention today in the Chazar Shir. Every time Chazar Shir for the different sections of this course really serve a different purpose, what I would like to try and accomplish in these two Chazar Shir that we'll have in Hilchos Eruvin is to go through the Mishnah Berurah and discuss perhaps some points that Rav Schechter either didn't get to or assumed that everyone knew at the outset, and then hopefully also to perhaps clarify some of the more complex issues that Rav Schechter dealt with, as well as provide perhaps some context for the positions of Rav Schechter, so that when we are encountered with the different situations that might arise in building community here, then you have all of the entire spectrum of what is considered to be, you know, acceptable psak halacha at your disposal in order to be as effective as possible. So just by way of introduction, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Mem Test that the Pasuk says in connection with Shabbos 39 times the word Malacha. And from there the Gemara derives that there are 39 Avos Malachas and Shabbos, which are listed by the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos and Daf Ayin Gimel. The last of which is Hamoitzim Yerushus Rishus, taking an item from one domain to another domain, either from a public domain to a private domain, or Rishus HaRam to Rishus HaYachid, or vice versa, from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. And this was done in the Melech HaMishkan in terms of transporting the Mishkan from place to place, as well as in the building of the Mishkan. The Gemara, though, Masechta Shabbos and Daf Tzadi Vav, brings actually a pasuk from Parshas Vayakel, which tells us, Vayikale Ha'ame Havi, that when Shabbos arrived, the people stopped bringing items from their home, from the Rishus HaYachid, to the place where they were building the Mishkan and the Rishus HaRabim. So the Pasuk mentions the Iser for the Malach of Haitzah explicitly. Even though most of the Lama Tesavah's Malachs are not mentioned explicitly in the Torah, the Torah just says Malach, Malach 39 times, and we ascribe to it the different 39 major categories of construction that were involved in Malach HaMishkan. Here, the Torah goes out of its way to mention the Malach of Haitzah explicitly. So Taisvis writes at the beginning of the Masechta on Shabbos and the Avbeis Amid Aleph that this is because Haitzah is Malacha Gruahi. Haitzah might not have made the cut had it not been stated or mentioned explicitly in the Torah, because really no fundamental change occurs. So it's an inferior Malacha. Most Malachas, you build something, you tie something, you plan something, you cut something, some change occurred. Here, it just moved from place to place, but the item is fundamentally the same. So therefore, since Haitzah is Malacha Gruahi, Tosfos says that the Torah had to go out of its way to mention it specifically. Including the Malacha of Haitzah is not only going from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, but also the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos on that same daf, Perek HaZorek is Hamavir Daud Amos Rishus HaRabim. A person picks something up in the Rishus HaRabim, walks for Amos, the equivalent of about 7 feet, and then puts it down. Even though he didn't transfer Rishuyos, he walked from place to place within the Rishus HaRabim, that is also a Malach of Haitzah, and that's based on a Halach HaLamayshim Yisinai. The Baal Amor explains in the Masechta Shabbos that this is related, the Halach HaLamayshim Yisinai is really just expanding the category of Haitzah, that is the fundamental Malach of Haitzah based on the Pasuk in the Torah, because every person's space, your personal space of Daud Amos is really like a different Rishus. And that's what the Halacha Moshe Misinai is teaching us. Not only if a person transfers an item from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, the formal Rishuyos, but if you move it four Amos in the Rishus HaRabim, that's the equivalent of moving it from place to place, because every Daud Amos is kind of like a new place. And that's what the Halacha Moshe Misinai is teaching us. Okay, so this is the basics of the Malacha of Haitzah. We're going to enterprise of building Erevin is in order to allow people to carry in areas which otherwise would have been prohibited because of the Malacha of Haitzah. And there are two attitudes towards building Erevin, to avoid the Malacha of Haitzah in our communities. And each one of these two perspectives that exist with regards to building Erevin have legitimate sources and should be, one should be aware of them and sensitive to them in going about the process of building an Erev. The first attitude towards building Erevin is that it's incumbent upon the leadership of the community to make sure that there's an Erev in every community in order first of all, prevent people from inadvertently violating these Avotzah, or certainly from doing it intentionally. And this is based upon the Gemara Masechta, this Erevin, and Daf Samach Zayin Beis, which tells us that it used to be, and we don't do it in our times anymore, already in the times of Shulchan Aruch, the practice was abandoned, but they used to wash the baby before Bris Milah in hot water, And then again, after the bris milah in hot water is an antiseptic. Now we have better forms of antiseptic, but that used to be the practice in the times of the Gemara. So let's say you have a bris milah that falls out on Shabbos, and they had washed the baby in hot water before the bris, but now it comes after the bris and the hot water spills. So we're going to have to heat up, or procure hot water to wash the baby in order to prevent infection. So the hot water spilled. They didn't have hot water here. So the Gemara discusses a certain episode that occurred. The hot water spilled. They didn't have hot water. So Rabba said, who was visiting, said to Abaye, who was the Rav of the town, he said, well, we could bring hot water from next door. I guess they had a Shabbos urn or something. So Abaye said, we can't bring from next door. We don't have an Erev. So the Mordechai says, you see that the assumption of Rabba was that, of course, there should be an Erev here, that this is an established community. How could you not have an Erev? And therefore, he was surprised when there was no Erev. And the Tshuvas HaRosh, as well as the Mordechai, derived from this assumption of Rabba that there was an Erev in the town of Abaye, that it's incumbent upon the Rabbanim, the leadership of a town, it's an imperative upon them that they should make sure that there's an Erev in the town to prevent people from inadvertently or certainly intentionally violating the Malacha of Haitzah. At the same time, and therefore we have to go to great lengths to make sure that an Erev is built. At the same time, the Mishnah tells us in Masechtas Shabbos and Daf Netes and Aleph that an ir shel rabim ein ma'arvin es kula. If you have a city that has a Rishus HaRabim within it, so you can build walls around the Rishus HaRabim and then allow people to carry within it, the Gemara says you should not be ma'arv the entire Rishus HaRabim. Why not? Because people will be mishtakech teres Rishus HaRabim. People will forget that there was ever an Isar of Haitzah to begin with. So you have to leave a little bit outside of the Erev. So people remember, oh, you can carry there, and there'll be a zecher, there'll be a remembrance, the fact that, hey, there is one of the Lamtes Malachas, is Isar of Haitzah, and you're not allowed to carry there. The Shulchan Aruch says that in our times we're not makbet to leave a little bit of the city outside of the Erev. Because, the Mishnah Berurah explains, we in our cities are not going to assume that we have a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. This is only if you're dealing with a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, you should leave a little bit out so people should remember the Isar of Haitzah D'Oraisa. In our cities, we assume that there's only an Isar of Haitzah D'Rabbanan because we're dealing with a Kamalis, so you don't have to leave a little bit outside of the city. This is a concern. I remember when I first came to YU, there was only an Erev on the other side of Amsterdam Avenue to allow you to walk from morgue to the cafeteria. But if you lived in Mus, or it didn't cross Amsterdam Avenue, so if you lived in Mus, you had to, where the Sfarim shrunks are, where the Sfarim shelves are in the official base medrash, used to be lockers. They made the lockers and across the hall. The whole base medrash was a locker room. It was terrible. So then, it used to be bookshelves in the back of the base medrash, but whatever. So you used to have to leave your key in your locker and then go to eat in the cafeteria if you were doing that. So in order to cross the street, you had to leave your key in one place. Or in a morgue, you would leave it in the mailbox and then cross the street to go down to the base medrash. But you couldn't cross Amsterdam Avenue. I remember at that time that there were people who, like, they had never encountered the Isar of Haitzah their entire lives. Like, how do we function? How do we do this? No one, because they forgot. We basically excluded this from our practicing of Hilchos Shabbos, Isar of Haitzah. So this was kind of like a reawakening, perhaps a religiously inspiring moment to remember the fact that the one of Lama Tesla Lachas is Isar of Haitzah. And in fact, Rav Moshe writes in the Gros Moshe, this is one of the reasons he was opposed to building the Erev in Manhattan, not for the reasons that he doesn't say for the reasons that most people think. One of the reasons he was opposed to it is because people are going to come to Manhattan and see that there are people carrying all over the place if there'll be an Erev here. And then they'll go home to their little cities and they'll think that there's no Malacha of Haitzah. That was one of his concerns. So in the Divrei Menachem, that was the Tshuvas of Rav Mendel Kasher, who Rav Shechter mentioned was one of the founders of the Manhattan Erev. So he quotes there a letter from Tzvi Pesach Frank, who disagreed with the presumption of Rav Moshe. He says, no, Adarabba, it's an obligation upon the Rabbanim of the town to build an Erev in order so that no one should violate Hotzah when they come to visit here from other cities. So again, both sensitivities are correct. We have to make sure that we don't obliterate the Malach of Haitzah and people forget about it. But at the same time, we have to be sensitive to the needs of the community and doing our best to cater to those needs and building an Erev. Rav Schwab, actually, in his Sefer Mayim Beis HaShoeva, it used to be that the Erev in Washington Heights, at least on the other side of that Mount Sinai Erev, I think it's called, was very controversial, at least when it was first built. I don't think it has the same... It doesn't evoke the same response as it used to. So, but the reason why the Breuer's community traditionally was opposed to building Erev in Manhattan is not because Ramesh's tshuva. I mean, they say, oh, they'll call Ramesh. Ramesh said he can't build here. However, if you look in the Sefer Mayim Beis HaShoeva of Rav Schwab, so in Parshas Vayakel, he says a different reason. He says the reason why you can't build an Erev in Manhattan is not because of the covenant of Ramesh, but rather it's because Haitzah's Malacha Gruahi, it's an insignificant malacha, and therefore we have to, because it doesn't cause a fundamental change in the item, and therefore we have to go to great lengths to protect the Iser of Haitzah. He says, look, Chazal told us not to take lulav on the first day Sukkot if it falls out on Shabbos, not to blow shayif on the first day Rosh Hashanah if it falls out on Shabbos. Why not? Shema yaviren without amas b'shus harabim. I might take the shayifah to a baki to learn how to blow. I might take the lulav to a talmud chacham to learn how to shake it. And what is the concern? Shema yaviren without amas b'shus harabim. I might, the gzeir the rabba, I might carry it for amas b'shus harabim. So Taisa says, yes, over there. So, that's not a concern. I'm going to take it out of my house into the b'shus harabim. The Gemara says, I'm afraid I'm going to pick it up in Rosh Hashanah, walk 4 amos in Rosh Hashanah, and put it back down. How likely is that? The lulav and the shayfar are in the Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to pick it up in Rosh Hashanah and put it back down in Rosh Hashanah. That's the only way you'd violate Shem Yaviren without amos Rosh Hashanah. So that's far fetched. That's great. We're going to ignore the mitzvah of shayfar deiraisa, the mitzvah of lulav deiraisa, because of such a far-fetched chashash, or if Schwab writes, infers from here, that you see that Chazal went to great lengths to protect the Iser of Haitzah, even if it was far-fetched. And therefore, so too, we have to go to great lengths to protect the Iser of Haitzah. So there are these two sensitivities. At the same time, the Baal Shem Tov, Chassidim are generally, take the position of being more lenient on Erevin, because the Baal Shem Tov said that he quoted the pasuk in Chabakuk, that Bezoram Titzad Eretz, you march through the land in anger. So Baal Shem Tov felt it was his avoid in this world to lower the decibel of the anger of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Zaam. So he was misaken those three things. Zvicha, the Rosh Hashanah Zaam. Zvicha, Erevin, Chassidim are generally machmer on Shechita. Erevin, that the community should have Erevin and people shouldn't violate Haitzah. And Mikvos, that they should make sure that there's a kosher mikvah in every community as well. So the Chassidim generally are take the position of being more lenient on Erev, to make sure that every community should be able to have an Erev. So again, there are these two perspectives on Erev. Either it's the responsibility of the community to build an Erev, and therefore we should go to great lengths, to do the best that we can to make sure that there's an Erev there, and use all the tools that we have at our disposal, halakhically and otherwise. And then there's also the position that that we can't go too far in being too cavalier with the Isser of Haitzah, because Chazal went to great lengths to protect the Isser of Haitzah, because it's a malachic ruin. Okay, that's by way of introduction. But just looking, beginning when we try and go our Seder, the Shulchan Aruch, and fill in the blanks from things that perhaps we didn't discuss, or perhaps elaborate on things that we did discuss. The Shulchan Aruch, at the beginning of Shin Mem Hei, outlines for us, quotes from the Gemara Masech, the Shabbos, that there are 4 Rishuyos of Shabbos. There's the Rishus HaRabim, the public domain, Rishus HaYochid, the private domain, the Karmelis, which we'll see is somewhere in the middle, and the Mokom Ptur, which is neither a Rishus HaYochid or Rishus HaRabim or a Karmelis. A person can do whatever, whatever you want in the Mokom Ptur. So the Gemara Masech, the Shabbos, lists 4 Rishuyos, those 4 Rishuyos, which are mentioned here in the Shulchan Aruch. The Yushalmi Masech, the Shabbos, only mentions 3, Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid, and Karmelis. Makom Ptur is not mentioned. So Menachem Zemba suggests in a sefer on Haitzah called Toitzah Aschayim that perhaps there's a machlekesi between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. What is the nature of Makom Ptur? Is Makom Ptur a 4th Rishus, which we'll see perhaps is its own dimensions and regulations, or perhaps Makom Ptur is just the E-Rishus? It's the safety net, the catch-all. Something, anything that doesn't fit into the categories of Rishus HaRabim, doesn't fit into the categories of Rishus HaYach, it doesn't fit into the categories of Karmelis, we're going to label by default as a Makom Ptur, and therefore it doesn't have any of the restrictions. So is Makom Ptur its own Rishus with more lax restrictions, or is a Makom Ptur with no restrictions, or is a Makom Ptur a 4th Rishus, just none of the categories, none of the above, and therefore it doesn't have any of the restrictions of the different Rishus. And as we'll see, this can be a recurring issue that's raised throughout Simin Shin Mem Hei. Okay, but we have these three or four Rishuyos. We have Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYochid, which are 2 Rishuyos that are Doiraisa, and they're going to have their own specifications. Karmelis is anything that is not a Rishus. They took some of those areas that are not a Rishus HaRabim, which is going to have specifications. Not a Rishus HaYochid Doiraisa, but it has a Makom of Dalat Tfachim by Dalat Tfachim. It's not Rosh Hashanah, let's say it doesn't have the specifications, doesn't have walls. It's not Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't satisfy those requirements either, but it has an area, Dalat Fachim by Dalat Fachim. Chazal took that area and labeled it as a Karmelis with certain restrictions, and if it doesn't have an area of Dalat Fachim by Dalat Fachim, it's not 4x4 wide, then Chazal left it as a Makom Ptur. So Kamalis and Makom Torah are related. They're whatever. It's not Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Yochid, Deraisa. But if it's four Tvachim by four Tvachim, it's a Kamalis. Less than that is a Makom Torah. So what's a good example of Makom Torah, just moving forward, is a fire hydrant is a Makom Torah. Because it rises three Tvachim out of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim, so it's not part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabim. It does not rise to 10 Tvachim tall, so it can't have Mechitzos and be like a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. It's somewhere in between. Fire hydrants are not 3 feet tall. So a fire hydrant, a parking meter, which is not Dal Tvachim by Dal Tvachim wide, you're not a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, even if it's pretty tall. So those areas, and it's not our Makom Torah. It's good, handy examples of what is a Makom Torah. So in order to be, we're going to go through, as the Shulchan Aruch does, the specifications be Rishus HaYachid, then we'll get to Karmos, and then we'll move to Rishus HaRabim. So the Shulchan Aruch says over here, in order to be Rishus HaYachid, it has to have meet two requirements. The first is it has to be Dalat Fachim by Dalat Fachim Y. That's the first requirement. The Mishnah Berurah and Tzivka and Gimel has a Machlekes, we show them over here, how to calculate the Dalat Fachim by Dalat Fachim. Do you include the depth of the wall? Do you not include the depth of the wall? You should see the Mishnah Berurah. It's an interesting discussion. But the basic rule is it has to have a Dalat Fachim by Dalat Fachim, and it has to have, Mechitzas 10 Tfachim tall.
Isn't that a focus in the Mishnah Berurah just about carrying on top of the walls?
Yeah, okay, like good. See, so yeah. Just take a look at it. Very good. Yeah, exactly.
I'm saying everyone agrees that you need
Dalat. Yeah, no, the question is the depth of the wall will count on top, but not in the inside.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Correct. Yeah. That's all I wanted to say. The Bir Halacha and Simon Reish Samach Gimel. Shin Samach Gimel, quotes Machlokes, how many mechitzas do you need? You need four tefachim by four tefachim wide, and it has to have mechitzos that are 10 tefachim tall. But how many mechitzas do you need? So the Bir Halacha quotes Machlokes, we showed him, some said three mechitzas, some said four mechitzas. There's a contradiction within the Rambam. Rav Shefta mentioned this, and the Bir Halacha quotes it, and the Magen Mishnah, I think, quotes in the Rajba, or resolves that it depends what it opens up to. If it opens up to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, then you need four mechitzos, meaning if that's on the outside of this walled-in area, you need four mechitzos, and if it opens up into a karmois, then perhaps it's enough with three mechitzos. There could be a time, we generally assume you need three mechitzos, deraisa, but there's could be a time where you would need even less than three mechitzos to be Rosh Hashanah Yochid and deraisa, and that's what the Chazon Ish points out, if it's less than a 90-degree angle, meaning if you have at a 90-degree angle, so then, as Rav Shefta mentioned, then you're missing two walls. So you need three walls to be Rosh Hashanah Yochid and deraisa, but if it's less than a 90-degree angle, a 60-degree angle, so you're just missing one wall on the triangle, to complete the triangle. So then perhaps it would already be a Rosh Hashanah Yochid Deraisa, even though it only has two walls, because it's at less than a 90-degree angle. The Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Mem Hei Sif Beis that what can serve as a mechitza could be a tail, it could be a charitz, an omud, or whatever, a mechitza, it could either be a pedestal, it could either be a ditch, or you could have a wall. And Rav Shefta quoted the Shuva of the Chacham Tzvi that you can mix and match within these types of walls, at discretion, indiscretion. So you can have go from an omud to a cliff to a fence, and most community Erevin usually employ all. Washington Heights has a lot of natural mechitzos. Most community Erevin don't have as many natural mechitzos just because there's a lot of hills here. But generally speaking, most mechitzos use at some point or another all three of these different, or at least two of these different, not too many cliffs in suburban areas, but all these different types of mechitzos. Once you have the specification of Rishus HaYachid, there are a number of differences between Rishus HaYachid and the other Rishuyos. It's really define the nature of Rishus HaYachid. And if you're paying attention as you read through the Shulchan Aruch, you'll notice four primary differences between Rishus HaYachid and the other Rishuyos. The first is, but the Rama writes all the way at the end of Shin Mem Hei, Sif Yutes, and that is that you cannot have another Rishus in the middle of a Rishus HaYachid. Shulchan Aruch says over here in Yud, that anything that's in a Rishus HaRabim that sticks out three Tfachim from the Rishus HaRabim is no longer part of the Rishus HaRabim. Well, what is it if it sticks three Tfachim out of the Rishus HaRabim? So Shulchan Aruch says, if it's four Tfachim by four Tfachim wide, it's a Karmelis. If it's less than four Tfachim by four Tfachim wide, that's a fire hydrant. That's a Makom Torah. That can only be in a Rishus HaRabim or perhaps in a Karmelis, which we'll get to in a second. But in a Rishus HaYachid, whatever is inside the Rishus HaYachid is part of the Rishus HaYachid. You cannot have a Karmelis or a Makom Torah in the middle of Rishus HaYachid. Rishus HaYachid is a basic command of Mal Yadam. It swallows everything up that's inside of the Rishus HaYachid. So that's one halacha of the Rishus HaYachar, of Bittur Rishus. Then the other unique aspect of Rishus HaYachar is that Avia Rishus HaYachar is Rishus HaYachar. That's mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Hei. And that is because Rishus HaYachar has walls, and this is perhaps because Rishus HaYachar has walls, and we visualize the walls as if they go up up to the sky. Good Asik Mechitza. So therefore, the airspace of Rishus HaYachar is like a Rishus HaYachar. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Sif Yud Beis, the airspace of Rishus HaRabim is not K'Rishus HaRabim, it only is, the Rishus HaRabim is only Toifes Adas Sara, until 10 Tfachim Tol. So until 10 Tfachim Tol is part of the Rishus HaRabim, above 10 Tfachim Tol is already a Makom Tur. So therefore, just as L'mashal L'mad Davidoyma, if I were to throw, let's say, these windows don't open. Like in hospitals, they don't open. Because someone's going to jump out or something. But if the windows would open, the windows in first floor open, so if they, down at least, all right, but if they would open, and you could throw from here into the first hall, so you'd be throwing from Rishus HaYachar, and if 185th Street would be actually a street, which it used to be, so if you would throw from, tell how long I've been giving this year, but all right, when I started this, the building didn't exist, and now 185th Street, but if you throw from this building to that building, so it would be from Rishus HaYachar, the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, but it's above 10 Tvachim, so that would be a Makom Tur into another Rishus HaYachar. So you'd be throwing from Rishus HaYachar through a Makom Tur into another Rishus HaYachar. It should have been allowed. Shulchan Aruch says, don't do it, because you might miss, in which case it'll fall down into the Rishus HaRabim. But in theory, you could have done that. That's because Rishus HaRabim is only Teufes Adasar, and we'll get to the Carmelists in a second. Okay, but Rishus HaYachar is Oyla Ala Rakia. So you couldn't... The airspace of Rishus HaYachar would go all the way up to the sky, as opposed to that of Rishus HaRabim. The third distinction between Rishus HaYachar and the other Rishuyos, at least Rishus HaRabim, is with regards to Kelim. Shulchan Aruch says over here in Siv Vav, even a Kli, if it has the proper dimensions, if it has 4x4 Tfachim and is 10 Tfachim Tfol, could be the equivalent of an Amud, and you know, let's say you have a big refrigerator outside, or refrigerator box for that matter, and it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, and 10 tefachim, you know, has 10 tefachim tall and all around, that could be, have the status of a Rishus HaYachar. However, Kelim cannot be a Rishus HaRabim. You can't have a Rishus HaRabim of Kelim. First of all, nobody walks, you know, on top of the, you can't have people walking on top of the Kelim. Kelim can't be a Rishus HaRabim. Not only can't Kelim be a Rishus HaRabim, but Kelim cannot be a Karmelis either. The Mishnah Brura over here, Sivkot and Tez Zayin, says they were never geyser the gzeir of kamalus on kalim. They ain't kamalus because it's insignificant. Ain't within kamalus, they ain't kamalus be kalim. So what is it? So Mishnah Brura discusses, well, maybe it could be a makom tur. So if you look in the Shara Tzia, it's a cut in Tezvav. He discusses, well, maybe it could be a makom tur. If you have, let's say, a kli in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, you know, refrigerator box, it doesn't have 10 tefachim tall. It's 4 tefachim wide, maybe, but it's not 10 tefachim tall. So it's not going to be Rishus HaYachar because it's not 10 tefachim tall, but it sticks 3 tefachim out of the Rishus HaRabim, so it's not going to be part of the Rishus HaRabim. So well, it should have been a Karmelis, but the problem is in Karmelis be Kelim. Even though Rishus HaYachar could be in Kelim, they were never goyzer the Gzeir of Karmelis on Kelim. What about Makom Tur? So can it be a Makom Tur? That's what I would have said, nothing else. So Shara Tzion quotes one opinion, it could be a Makom Tur. Then he quotes another opinion that it can't be a Makom Tur either. He quotes from Meiri that it can't be a Makom Tur because they were never guys or Makom Tur on Kalim either. So some suggest that perhaps this depends on those two perspectives on what a Makom Tur is. If a Makom Tur is whatever doesn't fit into the other categories, it's not Rishus HaYachar, it's not Tenth Fachim Tor, it's not Rishus HaRabim, you can't have Rishus HaRabim on Kalim, nobody walks on the Kalim, and it can't be a Kamos, and whenever guys are Kamos on Kalim, okay, so it's a Makom Tur. What else is it going to be? Even though it's 4 tefachim wide, by 4 tefachim wide, it's going to be a makom tur. The other opinion holds, no, makom tur also is an official rishus with its own qualifications, and if there were never goes to karmelis on kalim, then there were goes to makom tur on kalim. So you can't have makom tur on kalim either. It's a fourth rishus, so then what should it be? So Mishnah Brura says it'll have to be part of the rishus harabim. It can't be anything else. It'll blend back in like to, you know, to be part of the rishus harabim. Even though kalim can be a... A Rishus HaYachar, the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa, Perek Yud Zayin, where he discusses all the halachas of Haitzah. So he writes that a table is not a Rishus HaYachar, even if it's 10 tefachim tall, because it has no walls. So that's a, you know, just a good thing to keep in mind. If you have a solid table, which is an amud, okay, then maybe it could be a Rishus HaYachar. But if it's not solid, it's not going to be a Rishus HaYachar, typically speaking. Rav Shlomo, he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman, well, maybe the legs and the top could be, you know, Tzuras HaPesach. Okay, it depends on the table and the way it's constructed, perhaps. But for the most part, they're not going to be Rishus HaYochid. The fourth, distinguishing quality about a Rishus HaYochid as opposed to the other Rishuyos is that of Chorin. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Dawud says that a Rishus HaYochid is not limited to the four Tfachim by four Tfachim, 10 Tfachim Tor, but it also could spread out into the appendages, the adjacent areas that can blend it to become part of the Rishus HaYochid, what's known as Chorei Rishus HaYochid. A good example of appendage of Chorei Rishus HaYochid is like a window ledge or porch or a deck are potential candidates to be Chorei Rishus HaYochid. Rishus HaRabim, though, the Mishnah Ramah writes over there, don't have the benefit of Chorei Rishus HaRabim. No such thing. Rather, it's Nidon Kfimi Doseim. So if you have a Rishus HaRabim with an appendage, you know, like a part of it that's off to the side of Rishus HaRabim, so what's the status of that? It's Nidon Kfimi Doseim. So if it has, four Tfachim by four Tfachim wide without any walls, then it'll be a Kamalus. If it's less than four Tfachim by four Tfachim wide, then it'll be a Makom Tur, and if it's four Tfachim with Mechitzos, or, on top of an Amud, then it will be a Rishus HaYochid. But it's Nidon, as the Shulchan Aruch says, it's Nidon Kefi Midoseim. If it's less than three Tfachim off the ground, then that blends in to become part of the Rishus HaRabim. That's what the Shulchan Aruch mentions later on, Sifri Gimel. Anything that's within three Tfachim to the ground blends in. It says, Chorim Shebeksom Kapi Rishus HaRabim. If it's less than three Tfachim to the ground, then it's Nidon Kerishus HaRabim. So everything is Nidon Kefi Midoseim. But Rishus HaYochid, meaning it's judged independently if it's above three Tfachim from the ground. But Rishus HaYochid has the benefit of Chorim. So if you have a Rishus HaYochid, the appendages blend in to become part of the Rishus HaYochid as well. The Mishnah Berurah, though, quotes Machlokes Rishonim as to are there any minimum dimensions to these Chorim at all, or do they all become part of the Rishus HaYochid? So the Mishnah Berurah and Sifka and Tes quote some Rishonim that has to be four Tvachim wide in order to be called Chorim Rishus HaYochid. So that would exclude most window ledges. Even though a window ledge should have really been Chorim, it's attached to Rishus HaYochid. According to those Rishonim, that has to be four Tfachim wide. You can't really stick your hand out of your house to your window ledge if there's no air outside, because it might not be Chorim Rishus HaYochid if it's not four Tfachim wide. And we need on Kfimi Doseim, so whatever that is. The other Mishnah Berurah in Sifkan Yud quotes Machlokes Rishonim, perhaps it has to be 10 Tfachim above the ground, meaning above with lower than three is part of the Rishus HaRabim. Does it have to be above 10 Tfachim from the ground in order to be Chorei Rishus HaYochid? Or do we assume that people in the Rishus HaRabim will use it if it's above, below 10 Tfachim from the ground? So perhaps it has to, if it has walls of 10 Tfachim, that's Rishus HaYochid. Or does it have to be raised 10 Tfachim above the ground to be called Chorei Rishus HaYochid? Or perhaps even if it's lower than 10 Tfachim from the ground, it can still be called Chorei Rishus HaYochid. So that comes up by porches all the time. Sometimes you have a porch, let's say, house is, of course, we should say, okay, and then you have a porch that goes outside, and the porch is on stilts. So it doesn't have its own independent walls. So it's 4x4 Tfachim wide, yeah, for sure, but it doesn't have walls around it. So if you judge the qualities of its own merits, the porch is going to be a kamalus. But maybe we could call it Chorei Rishus HaYochid. It's attached, dependent to the Rishus HaYochid. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes one opinion, it has to be 10 Tfachim above the ground. If it's not 10 Tfachim above the ground, maybe the Bnei HaKarmos, the Bnei Rishus HaRabim, use it, and therefore it can't be called Chorei Rishus HaYochid. So if it's 10 Tfachim above the ground and 4 Tfachim wide, then your porch or your deck could be called Chorei Rishus HaYochid, even though it doesn't have its own mechitzos independently. Rav Shechter raised the catch-22, is that if it's above 10 Tfachim from the ground, you're going to need mechitzos around it anyway, because otherwise it's a makeh. Otherwise you'll run into a problem of people walking along something that if they fall off, they could die. So you have to have walls anyway. But Alts Hilchos Shabbos, even if you didn't put up a makeh, it could be you could carry there. That would be considered to be Chorei Rishus HaYochid, and you would be considered to be attached to the Rishus HaYochid. But even though we're machmir, let's say for both of these opinions, lekula, that you have to have four tfachim, it has to be raised 10 tfachim from the ground, but lechumra, certainly we should be chayshish for the other opinions, that even if it's less than four tfachim, or it's lower than 10 tfachim to the ground, it should still have the status of Chorei Rishus HaYochid. You should not take something from a Rishus HaRabim or a Kamalus and insert it into a Chorei Rishus HaYochid, even if it's less than four tfachim wide or less than 10 tfachim from the ground. So this comes up with regards to, person who's, at least in the times over here when there was no Erev, So you had a problem, how are you going to carry your keys? So you mentioned some people used to leave it in the mailbox, used to leave it in the lockers, but that works for the people who have one of those. But let's say you're walking out of your apartment, and there weren't as many people living in apartments then, but let's say you live in an apartment. How are you going to carry your key around the room? So to put a key on a chain around your neck, that's just carrying in a different way. Putting it in your pocket is, you know, the typical carrying. Putting it around your neck is just carrying around your neck. Same malacha of haitzah. But if you make it part of your garments, you know, it does some functional purpose. Ooh, so that maybe that could be called, I don't know, tie clip was already a machlekes. Is that called a functional purpose? You wouldn't wear it otherwise. Okay, but if you put it as the spoke in your belt, ooh, so then people felt, oh, the belt can't function without it. That's part of the garment, and that wouldn't be considered carrying. The problem is, okay, so you got out of your house with your key and your belt. Now you want to come back into the house. So how are you going to get back in the house? So you have to have, you used to have two keys, one for the front door and one for the apartment. So how are you going to get into, there's no doorman over here in this building. So how are you going to get into the front door of the apartment building? You have to get undressed over there, take off your belt, and stick it into the, you know, to the keyhole. The problem is, before you walk inside, you're going to have to put your belt back on and go into the house. If you carry your key into the house, you just, you know, you just walked in holding your key, you know, from the outside into the inside of the building. So you have to open the door, and put it back, and then put it back in the belt, get dressed again, and then walk in while you're holding the door open with your foot or something. The problem is, though, okay, so let's say you did all that. The problem is, though, sticking the key into the keyhole itself is choreg, is potentially choreg, which is say, ah, it's less than 4 tefachim wide, yeah, because there's some Rishonim holding, it doesn't have to be 4 tefachim wide. So it should be choreg shechum, you shouldn't stick it into the keyhole. So Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa distinguishes between two types of keyholes. There's the proverbial keyhole, which, you know, peering through the keyhole. So that he says, is Chorei V'Shusayachet. Here, there's a whole lock mechanism inside. So the outside of the lock can't really be called in any sense Chorei V'Shusayachet. The B'nai V'Shusayachet don't use the outside of the lock at all. So why should that be called Chorei V'Shusayachet at all? So he thinks that you don't have a problem there. But you do have a problem. Sometimes you have buildings, again, if you have a vestibule before you have to put your key into the door, which if I remember correctly is the case over here on some of the buildings. First, you walk into a vestibule, and then you have the door which you have to open. So then, I agree, then you could get undressed and you could carry your belt inside. You're already standing in the Rishus HaYachid before. But if you have the keys on the outside door, which some buildings are like that, either on this side or on the other side, so how do you get in? You have to get undressed, put your key into the keyhole, and then you usually turn and push. The problem is, so putting into the keyhole, it's not the proverbial keyhole, it's not Chorei V'Shusayachet, the B'nai V'Shusayachet don't use this side, but what happens the minute you turn and push, you just inserted your key, you just carried your key into the house. Not part of the belt, you turned and pushed it inside of the house. So it's another issue that you potentially have. If you have the vestibule, so you're only doing this inside of a little vestibule, okay, so you're already in a V'Shusayachet, you're going into another V'Shusayachet, but if you're doing this on the street, so you might potentially have a problem. The truth is, Betzel HaChachma, that's where Betzel Stern was a rabbi in Vienna, he quotes from the Mishnah Berurah later on in Shinnun Beis of Katan Yud, that if you're only sticking something halfway from a karmelis into Rosh Hashayachid, that's mutter. So he says you have to be careful not to push the key all the way in. If you push the key all the way in, that'll be a problem of carrying. You're only able to push it halfway in. Pushing it halfway in from a karmelis, perhaps one could be makel. What about, though, this is over here in buildings which don't have a stoop. What if there's a stoop over here to the building? So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Shin Mem Vav Siv Gimel, what's called an iskupa, which is a stoop before the house. So if the iskupa has the status of Rishus HaYochid, meaning it has walls all around it, maybe it's raised 10 tefachim, or maybe it has fencing around it, on all four sides, which is, sometimes you'll have it, sometimes you won't. But if you have it on all four sides, so then your scupa is a Rosh Hashayachid, like the vestibule of the building. So I could get undressed or pick a key out from underneath the plant holder and put it into the door and carry it inside. However, if it doesn't have the dimensions of Rosh Hashayachid, so then the Mishnah Berurah there, Sifkan Lamed Aleph, quotes from the Taz, you have to be careful not to carry the key from the scupa into the house. Same problem. Otherwise, you'll be carrying from the Kamos into Rosh Hashayachid. So in that sif, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav asks, says, why are we so concerned with the Eskupa, the porch? The porch is Chayrei Rosh Hashayachid. He says, even if it doesn't have four walls all around it, it should have the status of Chayri Rishus HaYachiv. Let's say it's raised 10 tefachim off the ground. It's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide. Even though there's steps on one side, which might not be able to be considered a mechitza, maybe yes, maybe no. We don't have time to get into that. But maybe yes, maybe no. But if it's not considered a mechitza, so what? It's 10 tefachim off the ground. It's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide. Why can't my porch be considered a chayrish hazayachin and carry from the porch my man of sham? So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav gives an important answer, and that is that the iskupa is chayrish hazayachin, but it's also used by the Bnei HaKamalist. The mailman uses it, the guy who's delivering menus, who you don't want to the restaurants you're never going to go to, is using it. Everyone's using it. So it's also chayre, you know, it's part of the other reshuyo. So it's not dedicated solely to Rishus HaYochid. He says, hey, no, Kinami, if you have in the back of your house a deck, which is not used by anybody else, so then you could call it chayre Rishus HaYochid. But this is not limited to your usage, so therefore we can't do, you know, legitimately call it chayre Rishus HaYochid. It's used for by the Bnei HaKamos as well. So it might also be an important limitation on the application of this rule of chayre Rishus HaYochid. Okay, so these are the four the unique aspects of Rishus HaYochid as opposed to Rishus HaRav and the other Rishuyos. What should be the status though of a Karmelist? So first of all, what is a Karmelist? We described it briefly, but just to see it inside, the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Dalet describes it a Yam or a Bika, that's a sea or a valley, meaning there's no mechitos, there's no heavy traffic. So that if it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, that should have the status of a kamos. The Mishnah Brura over there, Sifkan Memches, asks, why doesn't water have the status of a Rishus HaYochid? Every body of water has walls around it. That's why it's, you know, depressed. It's sunken into the ground because there's, by definition, walls around it that's holding in the water. So why shouldn't it be a Rishus HaYochid by virtue of those walls that are all around it? So the Magen Avraham gives one answer. He says because the walls around, at least, you know, a lake or sometimes other, you know, waters, is pretty gradual. So it doesn't, it's not steep enough to be considered a tail hamislaket or a tail, which we'll describe mitzvah next time. The Mishnah Berurah though, again, quotes from a Meiri, is a different answer, that sometimes these bodies of waters, the walls are too far apart that you don't feel enclosed. And anytime you have natural walls where you don't feel enclosed, so then that's not considered to be a Rishus HaYochid. That's the rule of the Ramban and the Rashba. Rav Shechter mentioned this, that why isn't every continent considered to be a Rishus HaYochid? Because there's a continental shelf around it. If you go walk out far enough into the sea, there'll be a severe drought. So let's label every continent as a Rishus HaYochid by virtue of that, those natural walls that are around it. So Ramban and the Ritva say, when you're dealing with natural walls, this is not true by a community Erev. Community Erev is very big. I don't feel enclosed in community Erev, but those are man-made walls. If you have natural occurring walls, in order for it to be a Rishus HaYochid, it has to be that I feel enclosed. And no one feels enclosed in a continent of North America because of the continental shelf. How far apart can it be that it's now at that point already I don't feel enclosed? So Moshe and the Chayodam, both say that the shear is Tez Zayin Amma by Tez Zayin Amma. So if you're standing in the middle, that's 16 Ammas to either way, you know, either direction. So it means that they're 32 Ammas apart.
That's to feel enclosed, you're saying?
That's to feel enclosed. It's based on a Mishnah, Vesechtes, by Maiser Behema, that the farmer can include any animals that are in his eyesight within the counting of Maiser Behema. And the Mishnah says that that goes up to Tez Zayin Amma. They must have had better eyesight than we have, than Zainama's farm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any animals that are included within Tez Zainama can be included within Maisa Behema. So you see, that's the area that feels like it's the same, kind of general, the limits of my personal area. Huh? Tez Zainama in either direction. Okay. So that's 32 Amas.
Doesn't seem very far.
Doesn't seem very far?
No.
I guess so. 10 Amos is, let's say, 18 feet, so this is what, about
size of room.
How far is that?
It's
bigger?
Feet.
Huh?
It's like 60 feet total.
60 feet wide? No, 10 Amos is 18 feet. This so 16 Amos is what, like 28 feet? No, so it's not so far.
Like
not far at all. No, so it's not far at all. Right. Yeah. Okay, very good. Anyway, so that's considered to be my area of influence. Okay? So that same thing over here, if I'm feeling close, if it's that big. So most of these lakes are bigger than that, so therefore they're not considered to be Rishus HaYochid. Very good. There's another type of kamelis, though, not just an area that doesn't have walls and it's not heavily trafficked to be Rosh Hashanah but to be Rosh Hashanah, and that is if it has three walls. So we said midoraita, that's considered to be Rosh Hashanah, but you need a tikkun on the fourth wall. So until you make that correction on the fourth wall, Chazal said that, you know, diminished it to the status of a kamelis. A third area of a kamelis is what's mentioned by the Shulchan Aruch, Shemem Vav Sif Gimel, and that's what's known as a karpef. A karpef is any area which is lo hukaf ledira, that's bigger than a beis hasayim. Beis hasayim is 50 amas by 100 amas. So if you were making a square, that'd be, you know, 70 amas by 70 and change by 70 and change. That's which is about, I think, about 125 feet by 125 feet. So that kind of area, which is lo hukaf ledira. It has mechitzos, but they were put up not for the purpose of, you know, a human residence. It was put up, let's say, to keep a garden inside, or you know, for some other reason other than to serve residential purpose. So if you have a mechitzos put up for that reason, even though it's bigger, even though it has four mechitzos around it, if it wasn't put up for residential purposes, so that would have Chazal removed its status of Rishus HaYochid, since it wasn't put up for residential purposes, and it would not be allowed to carry within it. But that's only Dindarabonon, because it's so big, it's similar to like a kamelis and Rishus HaYochid, and therefore Chazal prohibited one from carrying in there. This is known as a karpet. So the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkah in Yud Zayin, many rules of karpet, but the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkah in Yud Zayin that one can carry from all these different types of karmelios to the other. Even though you could have one karmelis that's a Rosh Hashanah, mm-hmm. right, so Chazal said, don't carry that until you make a correction on the fourth wall. Or you might have a karmelis that's a Rosh Hashanah, right, so, and the Rabban is a carpet, because I removed its status, you know, penalized it because it's too big and it wasn't amazing for residential purposes. Or you could have a karmelis that's neither Rosh Hashanah nor Rosh Hashanah Rabban. It's a makom tur midoraisa, right, and Chazal prohibited you from carrying there because it's, you know, it's bigger than four tefachim by four tefachim, you know, it has four tefachim by four tefachim, a shir makom. So all these different types of karmelios, even though they come from different from different sources, different etymologies, nonetheless, you can carry one to the other. Mishnah Berurah makes their point, it's Sifkah in Yud Zayin. But since karmelis is really, midoraisa is a makom tur. Midoraisa, it's not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So midoraisa should have been a makom tur, it's neither one, one should have been able to do whatever you want there. Midrabban Chazal took it and labeled it, you know, removed it, the heter to carry there, since it has a sheer makom of Dal Tfach by Dal Tfachim, and gave it certain restrictions. But since its ancestry is in makom tur, so because of that, it has a certain similarity, you know, it has a certain differences between the other rishios. So one example of that, where this ancestry comes out, is in the Ramah and Sifyut test, which we mentioned before. The Ramah says, inside of Rosh Hashanah Yochid, you cannot have any other Rishus. So if you have something that rises 3 tefachim out of Rosh Hashanah Yochid, even if it's less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, that's not going to be a makom tur. And if it's more tefachim than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, it's not going to be a karmelis. But in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, that would be the case. If it rises 3 tefachim out, so less than 4 by 4 is a makom tur, more than 4 by 4 is a karmelis. What if they have that situation in a karmelis? I have a fire hydrant and a karmelis, a parking meter and a karmelis. So it rises 3 tefachim out of the karmelis, but it's not 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide. So it should have been a makom tur. Can you have a makom tur in a karmelis? So there, the Ramah quotes two opinions about that. One holds yes, it's treated like a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The other one holds no. A fire hydrant or a parking meter is a makom tur in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, not in a karmelis, because in a karmelis, it's matzah min as mino v'neir, like a Yoredeya term. Since we were good, the whole thing is really a makom tur midoraisa. Anyway, Chazal removed these, so they had to carry them and impose certain restrictions. So even though this makom tur really shouldn't have qualified to be part of the karmelis, since it's in the middle of a karmelis, gets swept up with one big brush and becomes part of the karmelis. You can't have a makom tur inside of a karmelis. So the Chesko Abramsky suggests in the Sefer Chazon Yecheskel, Masech Shabbos, that perhaps these two opinions in the Ramah, can you have a makom tur inside of a karmelis? Can you not have a makom tur inside of a karmelis? Again, reflect those two positions we mentioned about how, what is the nature of a makom tur? Is a makom tur just, you know, nothing, you know, whatever? It's not Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rosh Hashanah Yochim, and the rise is a makom tur, but it really is just like a schlep, you know, it really doesn't have its own contours or its own, you know, integrity as a Rosh Hashanah. So in which case, if, oh, we're making Zerif Karmelis, okay, so this gets swept up in it too. But if a makom tur is its own reshus, so then perhaps it can have its own integrity even inside of a kamelis, even though they do have a common ancestry. This will make a difference. Sounds theoretical, but it does make a difference in the situation that often occurs, which is a person walks out of the house in a place where there's no Erev, and he forgot that he has something in his pocket. Let's say he's on a Kiruv Shabbaton and there's no Erev in his community, and you have to memorize the directions or write it on your hand somewhere. So, but let's say he walks out with the directions in his pocket, and now he realizes as he's walking to Shul Shabbos morning that he has the directions in his pocket. What do you do now? So you say, well, I'll look it up. You can't look it up. This is one of those things that, you know, rabbis have to know. You can't look up when there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah. You don't have time. Hilchos Aveilus, you don't have time. Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos, you don't have time sometimes. So you got to know certain things at the tip of your tongue. What do you do here? You're caught carrying in the middle of a, you know, a kamelis in these suburban communities. It's not Times Square. So we don't know Kiruv Shabbaton, I think, in Times Square. But it's not going to be Shisaram Deraisa. But what do we do here? So the best Eitza is to keep on walking, perhaps, and put it down, and, you know, never stop walking, and then you will never, in order to be chayv on Shabbos, you have to have an akira, picking it up in one rishus, and then a hanaka, putting it down in another rishus. So one potential eitzah is just never stop walking, but it doesn't always work, because you get stopped at a red light, or whatever, so you keep walking in a circle, or something. But as long as you don't stop, you never had a hanaka, that might solve the problem. But another eitzah that's suggested, or perhaps even a better eitzah, is to put it down in a makom tur. So find a fire hydrant or a parking meter and make sure it's balanced on top of the fire hydrant or the parking meter, and you should be good. The problem is that perhaps that it's only a makom tur, and if you're in Times Square and it was just around Deraisa, what if you're in a small town in upstate New York? That's not a Rishus HaRam Deraisa, that's going to be a kamelis. There's no Eruv, okay, it's kamelis, you can't carry there without an Eruv. But it's a kamelis, so maybe there's no such thing as a makom tur inside of a kamelis. So maybe you don't have that eitzah, just put it down on top of a fire hydrant, on top of a parking meter, because there's no such thing as a makom tur in the middle of a kamelis. We'd say matzah minas mino v'neir. So what should be the status of this kamelis in general? And so Chazal imposed certain restrictions. So the Gemara says, Masechta Shabbos, it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, Sikra 9 Gimel, the kamelis, they gave the kulos of Rosh HaYochan and the kulos of Rosh HaRabin. Meaning one is not allowed to carry there without making certain... without making an Eruv. But in terms of the general, the halachos of the description of the Rishus, Chazal gave it the kulos of Rishus HaYochan and the kulos of Rishus HaRabim. So for example, as a kulos of Rishus HaYochan, it doesn't exist in less than four tefachim by four tefachim. It has to have a shir makom, just like a Rishus HaYochan. But at the same time, the aver of the kamelis is only toifes ad asara. It's like a Rishus HaRabim. The airspace of the kamelis only rises to a level of 10 tefachim off the ground, not above it. So therefore, the Gemara says, Mishech the Shabbos ain't kamelis. L'mala me'asara, above 10 tefachim from the ground, is not considered to be a kamelis. The general assumption is that, what should have been the assumption is that what that means is that the airspace of the kamelis only rises 10 tefachim above the ground, like that of Rishus HaRabim. However, the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkan Samach Vav actually quotes a Machlekes HaRishayim. What does this mean? Ain't kamelis l'mala me'asara. One possibility, again, is that it's... that it means that the airspace of a kamelis doesn't rise above 10 tefachim. However, the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha over there on Sif Tezayin quote another opinion that's quoted by the Gur and the Yerushalmi, and that is, what it means is you can't have a kamelis that's suspended in air above 10 tefachim off the ground. Where does this come up? It comes up in the situation of the Gag HaBole in the, here. I'm sorry, I wasn't planning on having a whiteboard, but marker. So we'll pass around a piece of paper. But the Gag HaBole is the following situation. You have a... Here's the bias. Here's the Gag. Okay, so you have a house. Yeah, everybody's saying, you see? And there's a Gag on top. But the Gag, this is the roof. The Gag really has two areas. You know, has area A, has area B. The part that's over the house, the part that's protruding. So the Gemara says in Masechtas Eruvin that you cannot say good asik mechitzta. We should have normally said, if you wouldn't have had a Gag HaBole like every building, we'd say good asik mechitzta all around, because on each side you have a tail. You know, it's a, let's say, first of all, typical tail. And you have mechitzos, we view the mechitzos on all sides as if they go up to the sky, good asik mechitzah. But Gemara says, Masech this Erevin, can I say good asik mechitzah if the mechitzos are not nikaros, if the mechitzos are not obvious or visible or recognizable? So what's the story with the area that's on top of the roof? What should be the story with that area? With, let's say, area A and area B. So, the first opinion that's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, this is discussed over here by the Shulchan Aruch and Sifte Zayin. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes one opinion that the on top, since you don't say good asik mechitzta, so on top of it should be kamalis. It doesn't have a wall on the fourth side because the gag haboret makes this mechitza eno nikar. Makes this mechitza not nikar. Because you can't see it, it's not recognizable. So on top of it should be a kamalis. However, then the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Gra, and that's what Tosis quotes in the name of Yerushalmi. Same opinion, and that is no ain't kamalis. L'mal me'asari, you cannot have a kamalis raised, suspended midair above 10 tefachim off the ground. The ground is over here. You can't have a kamalis on top of the building. So on top of the building has the status of a makom tur.
The bottom part cancels the ground, not the top of the roof.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the opinion of the Gra and the Yerushalmi. Ain't kamalis l'mal me'asari. You can't have a kamalis suspended in midair off the ground. However, then the Bir Halacha quotes a third opinion. Okay, so we have one opinion that the whole thing is a kamalis because the mechitza is not nikar. Then we have another opinion that Taisus in the Yerushalmi and the Gra that the whole thing is a makom tur. Then Taisus quotes another opinion that it depends. It depends how big area B is. If area B, which is all the part that protrudes over the side of the roof, if that is outside of the building, if that is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, then you cannot carry in the whole thing. If it's less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, then you can carry in the whole thing. Why should that be the case? So, Shechter suggested, and that's the opinion of the Chazon Ish, that the reason why Tosis said, you know, that opinion in Tosis is because that's a shear, and what's called Eino Nikar. If the B area, you know, is 4 tefachim wide, then I can't see the mechitza that's below. If B is less than 4 tefachim wide, I can lean over and I see, oh, there's a mechitza over there. So then it is nikar. So it's a shir. What's called nikar? What's called not nikar? But everyone would agree, if the mechitzas are taka not nikaros, you know, they're not recognizable or visible on this ground level, using Shechter's terminology, so if it's not visible on this ground level, so then I can't say good asim mechitza, then this area would be by default a kamalis. The Gra, and the Yerushalmi would say, no, the area is a makom tur, ain't kamalis amal me'asara, but the Taisus might disagree and say, no, ain't kamalis amal me'asara means the airspace of a kamalis only goes up 10 tefachim. Not sure you can't have a kamalis suspended in the air, you know, above 10 tefachim. Of course you can have a kamalis on every ground level is judged by its own, you know, by its own merits. So this ground level, you know, the kamalis only goes up 10 tefachim. This ground level, the kamalis only goes up 10 tefachim. What does it mean then that this, you know, that this is only considered a kamalis if this sticks out 4 tefachim is because that's a shear, and what's called eino nikar, the mechitza is an nikar, so if it sticks out 4 tefachim, it's less than 4 tefachim, it is nikar. However, the Marsha, and Ramesha, and this is probably the opinion of Reb Chaim also, disagreed. They had a different pshat in Tosfos, and their pshat in Tosfos is, no, area A is always considered to be a Rishus HaYachid. Why? Because there's mechitzas below. In order to be considered Rishus HaYachid, according to Reb Chaim, if you learned Hilchos Sukkah this year, last year you might have come across this, Reb Chaim, I don't have time to explain the whole thing, but the opinion of Reb Chaim is, and that's the opinion of Reb Moshe, at least within this Tosfos, the opinion of Tosfos, the third opinion, is that area A is considered to be a Rishus HaYachid by virtue of the fact that it has mechitzos down below. In order to consider it to be a Rishus HaYachid, you don't need to say good asik mechitza. The fact that it's surrounded with mechitzos below, even though they're not recognizable, renders the area above to be a Rishus HaYachid. But if the roof is sticking out 4 tefachim, area B is a kamalis. Everyone is going to agree area B is a kamalis. It's a place that's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide without mechitzos, and it's not heavily trafficked, so it's not going to be Rishus HaRabim. It's going to be a kamalis. So area B is a kamalis. So even though area A has mechitzos down below, even though you don't take good asim mechitzos, you don't need good asim mechitzos to call it a Rishus HaYachid. It's enough with the fact that it's surrounded by mechitzos. But the problem is, area A opens up into area B, so it's nifras l'makom asalo. So if area B is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, it's a kamalis. If area B is less than 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, it's a makom tur. And then I don't have a problem with nifras l'makom asalo. That's the pshat in that third opinion in Tosfos. So Rav Moshe used this when he was discussing making an Erev in Manhattan, where he was presuming that Manhattan was surrounded by walls, which was ever the case, certainly not the case now. They have Erev that's made with Tzuras HaPesach and things. but the Erev that Rav Moshe was discussing, he was presuming was going to be surrounded by walls. So the problem is, though, you have some bridges that start in the middle of Manhattan and go outside over the walls to outside of Manhattan. So even though there's walls down below, your bridge is going to go over it. So it's nifritz l'makom ha'asalom. So Rav Shechter suggests, well, the mechitzas that are below are relevant to what's on top of the bridge. They're enonika, they're in a different ground level. So if they're enonika below, they don't rise to on top of the bridge, and therefore the mechitzas down below can't help you. So Rav Moshe said that, yeah, that might be one opinion in Taisus like that. That might be the first opinion that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. But then there's two other opinions. One other opinion is the Gra and the Yushalmi kin of a karmelis l'malam ha'asara. So he claims that the bridge is perhaps a makom tur, because it's above 10 tefachim off the ground. And then Rav Moshe says, there's another opinion in Taisus, that as long as you have mechitzas below, even if you don't say good asik mechitzas, you're right, it's not nikar above, but you don't have to say good asik mechitzas to render the area above as Rishon Sayachin, as long as it's surrounded by mechitzas below, that's enough for the area that's above, even if it's not nikar. So Rav Moshe says, that according to that opinion, all you have is a problem, is nifritz l'makom asalo, is on the other side of the bridge, is a karmelis or whatever. So he says, put a turas ha-pesach at the edge of the bridge where the mechitzas, you know, meets the area where the mechitzas are below, and that should be enough. Shechter is not happy with any of this, because Shechter is a different pshat in that taisus. So Shechter held, no, everyone holds, in order to be a shesayachid, you have to have good asik mechitzta, like the chazanish, you have to have good asik mechitzta, and if the mechitzas is below and not nikar above, it's a different ground level, so then you can't solve the bridge with that fashion. Rav Moshe, again, went with the Marsha, and perhaps that's the opinion of Reb Chaim too, and therefore Rav Moshe was a little bit more lenient when it came to the bridges. Okay, so that's the story with the Karmelis. But what about in order to be considered a Rishus HaRabim? So the Gemara has a number. The Gemara says that Rishus HaRabim is described as a Saratia or a Platia. Saratia, well, seems to be a highway, a Platia is a plaza. But then the Gemara in the Masechta Shabbos and Rashi, the Rishonim in the Masechta Shabbos and Avav, list a number of qualifications that a person needs, the area needs in order to be considered Rishus HaRabim, and all of them are mentioned over here by the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Mem Hei Siv Zayin. The first is that it has to be Tez Zayin Amma wide, 16 Amas wide. That was the width of the caravan that they traveled in the Midbar when they were transporting the Mishkan. Place to place, so that's considered to be the Shia versus Harabim over here as well. The Rebbe Kiva Eger points out in Shulchan Aruch, Shechta made this point as well, and that is Rebbe Kiva Eger's Hara, and that is that it doesn't matter whether we're talking about traveling, you know, the Tezayin Amma, it doesn't matter whether it's set aside for animals, or set aside for cars, or set aside for people, they all blended to be considered, they're made for traveling, and therefore it all blended to be considered, you know, part of the Shia of Tezayin Amma. So therefore, many, many streets then will have the shear of Tez Zayin Amma. What if it at some point becomes less than Tez Zayin Amma? So then that area cannot be a part of the Rishus HaRabim. Ah, but let's say on the other end, it's like an hourglass. It widens again to become wider than Tez Zayin Amma. So wide and wide, and then in the middle it becomes narrow. So that's a steer in the Shulchan Aruch, if you read carefully, between Siv Vav, I think, and Siv Ches and Siv Tes. So Mishnah Berurah distinguishes between how narrow does it become in the middle. If it becomes very narrow, then it's a mevatel, the whole status of Rishus HaRabim. If it doesn't become very narrow, less than, I think, 13 amos or something, then the whole thing is considered to be a Rishus HaRabim. The other condition that's necessary in order to be a Rishus HaRabim is that it cannot be makura. If it's makura, it has a roof, and Rav Shechter mentions Sfasemis, even if it's a temporary roof just here for the Shabbos or something. It cannot be considered Rishus HaRabim if it has a roof, and that's mentioned here in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch also mentions that it has to be mechuvin mishar l'shar, which is mentioned in Rashi in Hilchoshan, in Masechet Shabbos. However, it has to go from gate to gate, straight from gate to gate. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Ezer Rishus HaRabim mechuvin shesvach mechuvin tezayin amma ve'en mekurim ve'en lehem choma v'afihu yesh lehem choma hem mefulashim, I'm sorry, mishar l'shar, if it's open from gate to gate. But if you read the language of Shulchan Aruch, it seems to assume it's only in a city which has a wall. It says, can't have a wall. Obviously, if it has a wall, so it's Rishus HaYachid. But v'afil yeshem chama, even if it has a wall, if it goes from gate to gate, now it's Rishus HaRabim. So it sounds like the Mishkanes Yaakov, Reb Chaim Oriz, the Chazon Ish made the point that the only time you need mechuvah mishal, the only time that you need mefulash mishal l'shar in order to be considered Rishus HaRabim is if it has a wall. Because if it's not mefulash mishal l'shar, then it'll be Rishus HaYachid, because you have a wall. Meaning like this, Rabbi Zay, you have a quick diagram. If you have a wall around the city, so then if it's mefush mishal l'shar, oh, that's a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, then I can understand how this could be a highway, Rishus HaRabim. However, If it's not mafur, it's mishar v'shar, and there's a wall, so then you have like this, let's say. And I have, goes like that, and it's not mafurish mishar v'shar, or you could picture it at a right angle or something that's extreme. But then it's rishu seyach at the right side, I have walls on three sides. Oh, so then it has to be mafurish mishar v'shar if there's a wall. If there's no wall, why do I even need mafush mishar v'shar? Maybe the only time you need mafush mishar v'shar is if there's a wall, because otherwise it'll be shesayach de'iraisa by virtue of the walls. So that's why many achrayim claim that this is only in a city that has walls. However, Rav Shechter quoted Shlomo David Kahana, who was a rebbe in Warsaw, who had a letter that was printed in Mendel Kasher's Chuvis in the Divrei Menachem, that this applies to all cities, even if they don't have a wall. Even though it's a daichik in the language of the Shulchan Aruch, they were assuming that this is part of the quality, conditions that you need in order to be rishus harabim, that it be mefulish mishar l'shar. But Moshe asked in the Igros Moshe, he doesn't understand. He must have been assuming that we're talking about a city that doesn't have a wall. He says, well, if it has a wall, it makes perfect sense why it has to be mefulish mishar l'shar. But he says, I don't understand why it have to be mefulish mishar l'shar. What difference does that make? So therefore, Moshe comes up with his own definition of mefulish mishar l'shar. However, the Meiri explains a great svar. Ramesh says he doesn't understand why it should be so. If it's a city that doesn't have walls, why should it have to be straight? Even if it curves, what difference does it make? So Meiri says no, because if it's a mafush mishar l'shar, you can gun it. You can press the pedal to the metal and go, I don't know how fast they were going with their caravans, but you can really go fast because there's no curves. If it's not mafush mishar l'shar, if it curves back and forth and back and forth, oh, you got to go slower. So that's not as... It's not as much of a Rishus HaRabim. That's the Svar of the Meiri. However, because Rav Moshe couldn't really come to terms with the Svar behind Mefush Mishar L'Shar, Rav Moshe came up with his own definition, which is not found in the Rishonim, which is that it has to have the conditions of the Rishus HaRabim throughout. So as long as it's, it has to have Tezayin Amma, it can't be Makura, Shishim Rebo, but as long as it has the conditions of a Shus HaRabim throughout, even if it's not Mefulash Mishar L'Shar, literally, it doesn't go straight through, that's called Mefulash. Mefulash means it has the conditions of a Shus HaRabim throughout. it never gets less than never gets less than Tezayin Amo, never has less than Shishim Rebo, never has less, never has Makura.
Never has any walls.
So the problem is, never has walls. So the problem is, I'm saying, so according to Ramesha, you could even have, dead end, which is mefulish mishar l'shar, because it has all the conditions, other conditions of rishus harabim. As long as there's no walls, you could have a dead end street that's mefulish mishar l'shar. The problem is that what are you going to say for the Shulchan Aruch? Shulchan Aruch says if you have a street that's shaped like an hourglass, it's tezayin am on one end, the tezayin am on the other end, and then it gets narrow in the middle. Shulchan Aruch says as long as it doesn't get too narrow in the middle, the whole thing is considered to be rishus harabim. That's mamashik. That's that. That is the case that Ramesh is describing. And he says that that's what it means. It's not mafush mishar l'shar. But yet the Shulchan Aruch says it's considered to be rishus harabim. Or would Ramesh say every time there's an overpass, every time there's a bridge, so that everything underneath it cannot be rishus harabim because you have one area where there's a roof over the whole thing? So now it's not considered to be mafush mishar l'shar. Difficult. Ramesh's definition is difficult. Others say, and I think that this is perhaps a more conventional approach. Others say that no, mafush mishar l'shar means that there's an unobstructed road. If this road runs unobstructed through the town, even if it curves many times, that's called mafush mishar l'shar. In which case, almost every road is going to be mafush mishar l'shar because you don't have any road that ends, a dead end would not be mafush mishar l'shar. But any other road where you're unobstructed, if you make enough turns, you can get out and you go get to another city, so then almost every city has the potential to be mafulash mishar l'shar. Rav Shechter, I think, assumed like Rav Shlomo David Kahana. That was one of his reasons for saying, he said, none of the streets over here are mafulash because the whole everything curves around there. But if you take that other approach, then you wouldn't be able to apply mafulash mishar l'shar as broadly. Another condition that's necessary in order to be considered a rishus harabim is that perhaps, this is debatable, controversial, is perhaps it has to have 600,000 people, which was the population of Chal Yisrael, as they were traveling throughout the Midbar. So one opinion in the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin is you need Shishim Rebo in order to be considered Rishus HaRabim. The other opinion is you don't need Shishim Rebo. And the Mishabur writes, Chav Gimel, based on the rules of the Shulchan Aruch, when he says, Yesh Oimrim, who is he paskining like? That we should paskin that you do not need 600,000 people, meaning you can have Rosh Hashanah with less than 600,000 people. Even according to those who hold you don't need 600,000 people, the Beis Ephraim and the Shulchan Aruch Harav, you know, say there's got to be some popular. It's different than a Kabbalist. Bika is a Kabbalist. No one's going to say, well, there might be a few Bedouins that travel through the Bika, so now it's just Harabim. Even though you don't have 600,000 people, but that, you know, well, there's, you know, you got to have some minimal heavy traffic, but it doesn't have to rise to the level of, you know, the density of 600,000 people. However, the even though based on the rules of how we should have paskened with the Yesh Oimrims and the Shulchan Aruch and, you know, things like that, that you don't need 600,000 people, the Shaar HaTzion in Sifkan Chav Beis points out that it seems from elsewhere in the Shulchan Aruch that he paskens you do need 600,000 people. Because the Ramah writes in Shin Mem Vav Siv Gimel that we don't have a Rosh HaRabim Bizman HaZeh. Why would we not have Rosh HaRabim Bizman HaZeh? That's what the Ramah says. It's not that common that we have Rosh HaRabim Bizman HaZeh. Why is it not that common we have Rosh HaRabim Bizman HaZeh? We don't have any streets that are Tezayin HaMawai, that have no roof. Excuse me. So, must be that the Ramah was assuming, says the Shaar HaTzion, that you need 600,000 people, and they didn't have too many places where you had areas that were not 600,000, that had 600,000 people. Nonetheless, the Bi'alach and the Mishnah Berurah say that a Baal Nefesh should be Cheshish La'atzmoy, and actually for this reason, the Mishnah Berurah himself was not makel to carry an Erevin, because as we're going to see, in order to make an Erev, you have to assume that the area is not a Rosh HaRav De'Raisa. If you want to make an area Erev with Tzuris HaPesach, can't be Rosh HaRav De'Raisa, and Shulchan Aruch, and many times we assume it's not Rosh HaRav De'Raisa because you don't have 600,000 people, and the Chafetz Chaim thought we should be Machmer for this, at least Baal Nefesh should be Machmer for this, that perhaps you don't need 600,000 people in order to be considered Rosh HaRav, and therefore he didn't carry in many Erevin. Well, how do you measure those 600,000 people? So Shulchan Aruch says 600,000 people over in Bo B'chol Yom, they travel there every day. So Mishnah Berurah Sifkan Chavdala says he was scoured all of the Rishonim and he could not find any Rishon who says you need 600,000 people on this spot every day. However, the Achronim point out that there are many Rishonim who say that, that the Ramban says it, the Sefer HaTrumah says it, the Beis Yosef quotes in Baal Halachas Gedolos from Rabbi Yerucham. There are many Rishonim who say that you need 600,000 people over in Bo B'chol Yom. However, the Bi'ur Halacha quotes from the Ritva and the Ran who had a different opinion. And that is that you don't need 600,000 people actually travel there every day. It means that it's open to 600,000 people. They could travel there, even if they don't necessarily travel there every day. So based on that, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that train tracks, which are open to a population of 600,000 people, certainly would be considered to be a Rosh HaRabim, you know, would be considered Shisha Mibo, and would be a Rosh HaRabim Daraisa. The Shaar HaTzion, over there, Shin Mem Hei Sifkan Chav Hei, quotes a third opinion, that you don't measure it by one spot on a street, that you need 600,000 people there, or 600,000 people, even that it's open to 600,000 people, you measure the entire city as a whole. And if you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city, the whole city is labeled as a Rosh HaRabim. The dead ends, the, you know, the, it doesn't mean that it's we judge each street independently, we evaluate the entire city as a whole. And that's the opinion of Rav Moshe as well. Shall I see in quotes like that? That's the opinion of Rav Moshe.
Is entrance people living there or just passing through at any given
So Rav Moshe says, first of all, how big, you know, can be included in this area, meaning what's included in the Rosh HaRabim? You know, how big does it, far does this extend? So Rav Moshe says it should be the Shir of the Machne Yisrael. So if you have 600,000 people in an area which is Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, a mil, of course, is the time it takes to walk, you know, distance they take, the distance you could walk in 18 minutes or 22 and a half minutes, something like that. So if you have 12 mil by 12 mil, you have 600,000 people on the streets of the city, so then that would be considered a Rosh HaRabim D'Raisa and would include the entire city. That's the opinion of Rav Moshe. How do you know if you have people on the streets of the city, 600,000 people on the streets of the city? Rav Moshe assumed it's not that they live there, they're on the streets of the city. So Rav Moshe said, look, how many people are on the streets of the city at any given time? So Moshe assumed it's 1 in 4 or 1 in 5 people in every household are outside at any given point in time. Okay, that was Moshe's sociological assumption. So therefore, Moshe said if you have a density of, you know, around 2.4 million people living in an area of Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil, then the entire area is labeled as Rosh HaRabim. That would be, you know, between 2.4 million and 3 million people living in an area that Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil. That's 1 in 4, 1 in 5 people on the streets of the city that would, you know, make it 600,000 people. I think Brooklyn, someone just told me last year, one of the guys looked it up, is 2.6 million. So I don't know, fall somewhere in the middle. But Rav Moshe was, for this reason, Rav Moshe felt all flappers should be considered to be Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, and therefore no Erev can be built anywhere, even on the dead-end streets, because the whole city is labeled as Rishus HaRabim. It's not given by, you know, Ocean Parkway is the problem. The entire city is a problem, because you have 600,000, you have a density of a population, we have 600,000 people on the streets of the city at any given moment in time. The problem is, though, Rav Moshe did allow them to make right after the tshuva about flappers, Rav Moshe got dragged into, if you know the whole history of the Erev in Brooklyn, Rav Moshe initially didn't want to issue a psak, then they forced Rav Moshe to issue a psak, then Rav Moshe was machmir, then other people were make a whole, so it's an interesting parsha to investigate if you never looked into it. But then Rav Moshe, in the very next tshuva, he's makel to make an Erev in Kew Gardens Hills. What's the difference? Is it that different, you know, the density of population? Maybe, I don't know. You know, Hillcrest certainly, guys, but Forest Hills, Kew Gardens Hills, Rav Moshe was Megal. So why is Queens any different than Flatbush? So tell me that Rav Moshe say this, because Queens, if you know the where the highways are situated, so Queens is divided like by highways. There's the Jackie Robinson, and you have the Van Wyck, and you have the LIE and the Grand Central. So that divides all the different quadrants of Queens up into separate neighborhoods. However, Flatbush, Rav Moshe felt, are not divided. No, all those highways have walls around them and everything, retaining walls and everything. So Rav Moshe felt the highways divide the city into different quadrants. They don't all blend together to become one area. However, Flatbush, which is not divided in that way, would be, which is Haram Deiraisa, he wouldn't be able to build an Erev there. And that's one of the reasons that many people are perhaps opposed to building Erevin in a big city. You know, Manhattan might qualify as well. An exception to the rule of 600,000 people, though, even though we generally are Mako, they need 600,000 people to be considered Shusha Rabbim, Mishnah Berurah and Sifkan Yud Zayin, quotes from Magen Avraham, who's quoting a Ramban. This is mentioned, the Shechter quoted the Or Chas Chaim from the Sipinka, that held that the only time you need 600,000 people is when we're talking about streets in the city. However, if it's drachma hocham ear to ear, it's a highway that travels from place to place, doesn't really serve the purpose of traveling within the city. It's in order for it to travel from place to place. You know, there's no stores, there's no stop signs, there's no red lights. It's travel from place to place, so then that would have the status of Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa even without 600,000 people. And this issue actually was debated by the Avnei Nezer and Simei Reish Ayin Gimel between himself and the Yeshuas Malko, Rabbi Yeshua LeKutner. Do you need 600,000 people on Drachem HaHochem Meir Le'ir or not? And they disagreed about this. So if Shechter feels that you really should have on Drachem HaHochem Meir Le'ir, should have the status of Rishus HaRabim, even if you don't have 600,000 people there. Rabbi Willock felt that the most Paiskim are Meiko on this. Big difference. You have a Henry Hudson, you have other communities that have highways that run right through them. It felt that we could be Meiko on this. Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes from Shlomo Zalman, also that we're Meiko on this, because the Ramban said, we don't have a Rishus HaRabim, it's just Shin Men Vav Tziv Gimel. We don't have a Rishus HaRabim anymore in our times. Why, the Ramban never heard of a highway? How did they get from place to place? It was all local, you know, roads. They obviously had roads that went from one city to the next. So that city, the road that's going from one city to the next, does haste highway. That's a highway. So how did they not have Drachma Hokamei Yoir? How did they get from one city to the next? So must be that the Ramah did not subscribe to this Ramban. That even on Drachma Hokamei Yoir, you need 600,000 people. And Ramayisha also disagreed with this. Ramayisha held the only time you need 600,000 people on one street. What's the Shulchan Aruch talking about? Shishim Ribo Ovin Bo B'chol Yom. That's talking about a highway. In the streets of the city, the whole city is evaluated as one block. You know, BLOC. You know, it's viewed as one area. Either the whole thing is Rishus HaRabim or not Rishus HaRabim. The only time you need 600,000 people on one street is when it's Drachma Hokamei Yoir. That's why they say Rav Moshe used to peer out of his apartment on the Lower East Side at the FDR counting cars to see if there's 600,000 people on the FDR or not. Why? Because that's the only time you need 600,000 people was on the FDR, not in the streets of the city. However, if Shechter's opinion is that we should be machmir like this Ramban, that highways are, in fact, he takes it even further. Highways are the paradigmatic Rishus HaRabim. All of these conditions that the Shulchan Aruch has for what's considered to be Rishus HaRabim are just describing a highway. I mean, if we were describing a highway to aliens, how would we describe a highway? We say, well, it's a pretty wide road where it has no roof, that has a lot of people that travel on it, that goes pretty much, you know, straight through. And, you know, these are descriptions of a highway. So if Shulchan Aruch is a highway, you know, these are, if it's a local road, you're trying to turn into a highway. But if it's a highway mamish, the whole purpose is to go drachem hokum yaliyah, to travel from place to place, then you don't even need 600,000 people. Perhaps you might not even need it to be not makura. We were shefta said, what, the Lincoln Tunnel is not going to be a Rishus HaRabim deraisa because it's makura? He wasn't sure. Let's say it's train tracks that are less than tezayin amah wide. Probably should also be drachem hokum yaliyah. Those are only descriptions of what is a highway should look like. But if you have a highway mamish, the whole purpose is to travel from place to place. So then perhaps it would have the status of Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, even if it doesn't satisfy all of the conditions like Shishin Ribo and perhaps even the other conditions as well. Rav Shechter felt the FDR also, even though the FDR doesn't go from city to city, it just goes in around and around Manhattan, that doesn't blend in to become part of the streets of the city. There's no stores there. There's no city needs. You don't do city activities on the FDR. It's only for traveling from place to place. So it should also have the status of Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa and cannot be included in the Neiruv or the West Side Highway also. Or train tracks, or any highway. So the problem is, this issue is a major impediment for many communities to building an Eruv. If you're going to be machmir on this, you're building an Eruv, because many communities have highways that run right through them. Fill in the blank, have train tracks either that run right through it, or highways that run right through it. So in Passaic, for example, if you know about Passaic, so there's Route 3 runs outside of the community, but there's train tracks that run right through Passaic. So now, in recent years, the train tracks have been excluded from the Eruv. There's Tzuras HaPesach that run all along the train tracks, excluding it from the Eruv. And at all exits and entrances into the train tracks, there's Tzuras HaPesach that mark it off. That would satisfy Rav Shechter's requirements. But there are many communities, fill in the blanks, that have train tracks or have highways, route X, Y, or Z, that run right through the Eruv. So some communities have excluded it. That would satisfy Rav Shechter's requirement. But in some communities, it's just impossible to exclude it. In which case, they're going to have to be makol on this issue. Yeah?
Gas stations wouldn't, downgrade.
Oh, no. If there's a gas station on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That wouldn't, downgrade.
Maybe. No. But it would depend. There has to be a gas station here. I don't know. That's probably a highway. I don't think that's probably a highway. You can't travel from the city to the gas station.
I'm saying if there's a gas station on the highway.
On the highway, yeah.
Does that downgrade the highway, just going from
city to city? Yes, about Route 4. Yeah. Shelton thinks Route 4 is a highway.
It's not a highway?
It is.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. And Route 4 is excluded from the Teaneck area, I believe. There's two special by every entrance and exit. And I don't think there's freight tracks that go through Teaneck, but that we can discuss about that. But yeah, when we went to, a few years ago, we went to Teaneck on our Eruv tour instead of doing the Heights. Usually we do the Heights because someone should see it once a year, but a few years ago we went to the Teaneck Eruv. No, Rav does a great job, but we should bring Rav Shechter around since he's the Rabbi Mafshir. So we bring him around once a year to the YU Eruv, which is our audit of the Eruv. It's a great thing. So and we find problems almost every year, which is, Rav Shechter, Kedarka B'Kaidish. But in Route 4, we discovered that we saw it was excluded, but there are freight tracks that go through it. So we tumbled through it. We tell some back and forth. There's some Erevin that have the commuter tracks that go through. So that's for sure. Big issues. I don't like talking about other Erevin, though. Okay. So that's the Sratya. That might even be what's mentioned by the Gemara. When the Gemara says a Sratya is a Rishus HaRabim, they might be discussing highways. But then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to the Gemara, mentions another prototypical Rishus HaRabim, which is a Platya, a plaza. So the Be'er Heitev and Shimmem Hesef Kut and Zayin quotes from Rashba and the Avodas HaKodesh, which is one of the more, unusual Svarim of the Rashba, that, not the Chidushim on the Masechta, the Torah Sabayis, the Avodas HaKodesh, that plaza is Rishus HaRabim. Even if you surround it with walls, it would be Rishus HaRabim. So if you have a plaza that's surrounded by walls, and walls wouldn't help, it would still be Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. So should we be Mahu like that opinion of the Rajma? It doesn't make it into the Shulchan Aruch, but if you would say that, then any city that has a big plaza inside of it would automatically make all the, that area be Rishus HaRabim, or any open streets that are, or sidewalks that open up into it would be Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. So that was one of the reasons Ramayisha was Mahu in the area of Manhattan, because he said you have plazas all over the place, huge plazas, thoroughfares. markets that make all of Manhattan into a Shisharam Deiraisa. And he says, don't tell me the minute was always to be making on this, because they didn't have such big plazas in the cities in Europe. There were town squares, but they weren't this big and this populated. That's what Meshach, he wanted to be machmor like this Rajman, the Avodah HaKadosh. Others felt, the Shmishavs Kachas, quotes from Shoma Zalman, that we should be Mako on this, the plazas. And then he disagreed with the Meshach. The Shulchan Aruch didn't quote this Rajba in the Avodah HaKadosh for a reason, because the Shulchan Aruch didn't mean to paskin like it. Shmishavs Kachas says, if we be machmor like this, maybe the Kotel Plaza should be like a plaza and make the whole thing into a Rosh Hasharab Darais. But then, since even according to the Rajba, he doesn't think it would be a problem because the Kotel Plaza is a shul. A shul can never become a Rosh Hasharab Darais. Okay. That's his way out of that. If you are dealing with a Rosh Hasharab Deraisa, so then the only way to allow carrying in that area would be to make real walls around it, to make it no longer into Rosh Hasharab Deraisa, or to build doors, walls with doors. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have doors around the Rosh Hasharabim, okay, then that's not a Rosh Hasharabim, and by definition, and you can carry there. How many doors do you need at the either? We're discussing, let's say, a street. So how many doors do you need at either end of the street in order to remove the status of Rosh Hasharab Deraisa? So the Mishnah Brura and Shin Samach Dalet Sif Katan Vav, that's later on when the Shulchan Aruch brings this issue up again. Shulchan Aruch and Shin Samach Dalet Sif Beis says, Ein Rosh Hasharab Ma'arve Ol B'Dulosis. You want to make a Rosh Hasharab into an area you can carry, Rosh Hasayofin, you have to make doors on either end, so it'll allow traveling, but it'll also be closed off. So how many doors do you need on either end? Can I have, just one door, or do I need a door on either end? The Mishnah Brura quotes two opinions about that. Is it enough with one delos to remove the status of Rosh Hasharab? Do you need two delosas? I need on either end. I need walls. And the Mishnah Brura thinks we should be machmer on that, but then the Mishnah Brura, the Shulchan Aruch over there, Shin Samach Dalet Sif Beis, says that the walls, the doors, by the way, have to be closed at night. They can be open during the day, but they have to be closed at night. Losos nuulos belaila. Then he quotes another opinion that perhaps to remove the status of Rosh Hasharab, you don't have to have the two doors be closed at night. It's enough if it's ruuyos lino. They could be closed. So again, the Mishnah Brura there, Sifkan Ches, says we should be machmer that they have to be closed at night. It's not enough with ruuyos lino. They actually have to mamish be closed. Others disagree with that Mishnah Brura, the Tzitzel Yezer, and the Avnei Nezer, that they don't actually have to be closed. Because we're not sure we have a Rosh Hasharab Deraisa in our cities anyway. Do we really have Shishim Ribo? So therefore, it's enough for Sveik Sveika. It's enough if it's Ru'uyos Lino. So wherever we require Dlosos, let's say on the street, we're not sure, maybe there's a status of Rosh Hasharabim, and there'll be those who require that there be doors. It's enough if it's Ru'uyos Lino, doors on either end, two doors. But it's enough if it's Ru'uyos Lino. What can be called a door that's ru'uyo lino? Meaning it could be closed. How often? Does it ever have to have been closed? Or is it enough that it could be closed? Avnei Nezer quotes in the Gemara Masechet Yevamos that in order to have a sandal for chalitza, it has to be able to be worn. So the Gemara says, if it's worn once, that's called able to be worn. If it's not even worn once, that's not even called able to be worn. So the Soto over here says, Avnei Nezer evokes that over here too, that the doors have to have been closed once. If it's been closed once, that's called able to be closed. It's not closed once, that's not called able to be closed. The Shechter claimed that the minhag always was to close it once a year. Close it once a year. What if the government won't let you close it any other time? The government, you could get maybe, politicians to allow you to close it once a year at 3 in the morning. But there's no other way they're letting you close off a major street at any other time. So the Yeshua, Avnei Nezer quotes the Yeshua's Malka, then that's called Eina Roy Lino. Even if you close it once a year, you can't close it any other time. That's called Eina Roy Lino. Avnei Nezer disagreed that's called Roy Lino. Since we arranged to have it closed once a year, that's called Roy Lino. So when they made the Eruv over here, all the years, when I was a Talmud, they only had the Eruv on the other side of Amsterdam Avenue because of Aaron Soloveitchik said you couldn't build it across Amsterdam Avenue. It was Chayshish Zerushin Sarabim Deraisa. After he passed away, so then Rav Shechter felt that we could build it across the Amsterdam Avenue, and they slowly expanded the YU Erev, and then it went here, and then now it's the whole neighborhood. So, but when it first closed across Amsterdam Avenue, it was a big tumult within the Rebbeim. How are we going to go across Amsterdam Avenue? And Rav Temler was opposed to it because Rav Meisha held, with the sheet, this is Rabbim. So they said, if you're going to build it across Amsterdam Avenue, it was just across Amsterdam Avenue, that was it. So they said, if you're going to build it across Amsterdam Avenue, you have to put Dlosos on either end. What do you mean doors? What doors are we putting up? So he quoted, there was a journal called Noam. And in the journal Noam, if you want to look it up, it's in volume 21, there's an article there by Rabbi Ralbag, who you might have heard of. So Rabbi Ralbag proposed creating them, what's like a, it looks like a bazooka canister, you know, and inside is a rolled up tennis net, supposedly. I've never seen inside. And you could open it up and stretch it across the street. So he proposed, it says, dlosos, an area where Yechayshu Rishus HaRabim, so then make dlosos, use these tennis nets to serve as dlosos, to allow one to carry them. So they installed on either end of Amsterdam Avenue, we'll see it if we take the tour, there are two canisters. Some of them were ripped down, I think, but I believe there's still two left, two canisters on either end, which were in order to satisfy Rabbi Tendler to make it into dlosos. So Shechter was opposed to it, and he not happy about them, because he felt they were necessary, and they don't help. Why don't they help? Because if Shechter claimed that Deles is only something which a door exists even when it's open. See, if I open this door, there's still a door that's here even when it's open. Here, when these Deleses are open, they're rolled up tennis nets. So that's gone. You know, there's no more door when it's in the canister. How can you even call that a Deles or Royal Lino? And he quoted from a Shari Tshuva in Shin Sam Gimel Sif Kalin Yud Beis, where the Shari Tshuva says that a drawbridge cannot be considered a Deles or Royal Lino. Why? Because when it's down, there's no more door. So, you know, when it's up, I see a big road in front of me. That could be, you know, an obstruction. But when it's down, so then there's no more Deles. That cannot be considered a Deles, even a Deles Haroi Lino. Besides the fact that people trample all over it. So any mechitza that people walk on, perhaps, is not a Deles Haroi Lino. One last point about Delesos. The Chazon Ish was of the opinion that even to be called a Deles Haroi Lino, it has to have a residual Tzuris HaPesach. Even if you have a door that opens and closes, in order to be a Deles HaRoi Lino, it has to have a Tzuris HaPesach that remains even when it's open. So he quotes some Sefer who disagrees. Some Sefer held that when the door is open, even if there's no residual Tzuris HaPesach left, that's called a Deles HaRoi Lino, and remove the status of a Rishus HaRabim and could serve perhaps as a Mechitza. Even if there's no residual door frame that's there. No residual Tzuris HaPesach. He'll say, when does this ever come up? So I had it once. I was involved in Eruv in Indianapolis, of all places, but there was a big fence, which we were using as part of our Eruv. It was gigantic as part of a public school, which was wonderful. We didn't have to build anything there. But the problem was they had a big gate in order to let school buses in. And during the winter time, they left the gate, and at night they would close the gate. So in the summertime, it was fine, but in the wintertime, they had, you know, extracurriculars and sports going on. So the gate remained open until after Shabbos came in. So, but there were literally gates that opened and closed. And at night, it was Mamash Dlosos Neulos Belayla. They were going to close it. But now it's open. So Shalitz cannot serve as a mechitza for us when it's open. Or perhaps we have to ask them to build a Tzuris HaPesach, which they never would have done. Build a Tzuris HaPesach over their gate. So according to the Chazon Ish, it would be no good. According to some Sefer, it would have been good. So Willig, at the time we were riding with Willig, has in his Sefer, not Mordechai, he says, perhaps even though the Chazon Ish disagrees with some Sefer, that's only if it's Blasus Harulias Lino, but if it's Blasus Neulos Belayla Mamish, then maybe even if you don't have a Tzuris HaPesach, there's even more reason to be Megal. Okay, so getting back though, let's put this all together in terms of one final comment, concluding comment, and that is with regards to building a contemporary Eruv. So building an Eruv, the first thing you have to make sure is that you don't have a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, which we discussed all the different possibilities of. The first thing you have to do when you build an Eruv is make sure you don't have a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa. Why? Because if you have a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, the Shulchan Aruch told us in Samach Da'alad that Eim Rishus HaRabim Ma'arvel B'Dulosis, with the doors that are going to be closed at night, with maybe a residual Tzuris HaPesach, which is not happening. In our communities, we're not putting up Dulosis, Nu'ulos Belayla on every street. So then, that's the only way to be Ma'arvel Rishus HaRabim. Why is that the only way to be Ma'arav Rishus HaRabim? Why can't I use a Tzuris HaPesach? So that's because the Mishnah tells us in Masechtas Erev has a machleik seen Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, the Rabbanan, about Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitzta. So the case that they're discussing is the case of Pasi B'Ros. You might have been familiar with us here from Sukkot. We discussed when those people were being Ola Regel, so they wanted to feed their animals on Shabbos. So the problem is, how are you going to feed your animal? Take water out of a well. A well is a Rishus HaYachid. You're going to take the water out and give it to your animal. Your animal's standing in a kamos. That's going to be Hotzah. So, but there is a halacha l'maish misina called Pasi B'Ros, which is if you have a mechitzos in the corners, which, you know, go in either direction, and there's a well inside in the middle, you can carry outside of the well to here. Even though this is, you know, Haritz Meruba La'imed, you have more open than closed, special halacha l'maish misina called Pasi B'Ros. You can carry outside. But what if the traffic goes through the Pasi B'Ros? So do we say that the traffic that goes through Asu Rabin with Mavato Mechitza is Mavato the Pasi Biros? Or do we not say that it's Mavato the Pasi Biros and it still has the status of a Mechitza and you can carry it there? So that was a Machlokes between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda holds Asu Rabin Mavato Mechitza, you cannot carry in here because the Rabin that goes through, the Rishus HaRabin that goes through is Mavato the Pasi Biros. And the Rabbanan hold Lo Asu Rabin Umavato Mechitza. They don't go through and they're not Mavato Mechitzos. How should we paskin like the Rabbanan, like Rabbi Yehuda? So Mishkanes Yaakov paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Asu Rabim umavaklu mechitzda. Beis Ephraim paskin like the Rabbanan. And we're going to get back to it next time. That's going to make a big difference with regards to one halacha. But okay, machlokas, how should we paskin? But even according to the Rabbanan, the lo asu rabim umavaklu mechitzda, the Rabbanan agree that if all you have, if you have, let's say, a different case, all you have is a lechi, let's say I have a... if all I have is this, a lechi is, we're going to get to next time, is a mechitza d'oraisa, but I have Rishus HaRabim going through, that's mevato lelechi. So even the Rabbanon have their limits. It's not mevato pasibiros, but it is mevato alechi. What's the difference? So the Ritva explains to Mesech Pesarvin, because a lechi is a mechitza grua, is an inferior mechitza, and even the Rabbanon would say, asu rabim mevato mechitza in that scenario. Even the Rabbanon would say, asu rabim mevato mechitza. So if that's the case, that even the Rabbanan would say, Asur Rabim Mevatel Mechitza Mechitza Gru, what's the status of a Turas HaPesach? Can I have a Rishus HaRabim that runs underneath the Turas HaPesach? Or should I say the Rishus HaRabim is Mevatel, the Turas HaPesach, because Asur Rabim Mevatel Mechitza. So Bir Halacha quotes him a Ritva, who claims that a Turas HaPesach is a Mechitza Bria, and a Rishus HaRabim would not disturb a Turas HaPesach. So he could have used Turas HaPesach to be my Arva Rishus HaRabim. The only problem is we paskin Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza. Okay. So even a Mechitza Bria Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza. However, most of Achrayim are of the opinion, no, that Turas HaPesach is a Mechitza Grua. And even if you hold low Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza by Pasi Ros, by Alechi you do, and by Turas HaPesach you would also say Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza. So that's why you can't use the Turas HaPesach if you have a Rishus HaRabim there. However, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds over here, Asu Rabim about the Mechitza, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that if you only need the Mechitza, the Rabbanan, like it's a Carmelis, then you would say, Lo Asu Rabim about the Mechitza. Again, Rabbi Yehuda held over here that the Rabim come through and then about the Mechitza because you have a Rishus HaRabim that rises here. But if you would have, the area is only a Carmelis, so then you don't need the Mechitza Midoraisa. So then even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Lo Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza. The only time we say Asu Rabim is if you need the Mechitza Midoraisa. You're dealing with the Rishus HaRabim Midoraisa. Then there can be Mevatel, real Mechitza according to Rabbi Yehuda, and a Mechitza Gerua according to the Rabbanan. But if you don't need the Mechitza Midoraisa at all, to Kamalis, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Asu Rabim Mevatel Mechitza, we could be Meiko. So that's why most of our Erevin were based on the assumption of Shechta Kodah to Mordechai, Sechta's Erevin, and Taisim Sechta's Erevin, and that Gemara, that according to Yehuda, the only time you say Asur Rabim Mevatel Mechitza is when you need the Mechitza D'Oraisa. If you only need the Mechitza D'Rabbanan, you don't say Asur Rabim. So because of that, the Beis Ephraim, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav all say that the only time you can build an Erev with just Turas HaPesach, which is considered to be a Mechitza Grua, is if you only need the Mechitza D'Rabbanan. So the first task in building an Erev is first charting out the Erev and making sure you don't have any Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisas going through your Erev. Everybody, according to their own shita, what a Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa might constitute, you know, might be constant Rishus HaRabim. First, have to make sure you don't have any of those running through. Okay.